With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Thanks, Kramer. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. C-Dot still down in New Orleans fighting a gator probably right now. So I got BK in the house with me. On the sports machine, Sean Levine, Benny Heiss joins the team coming up sometime in the 3 o'clock hour. A lot to talk about today. Most of it is Kansas City Chiefs related. But as we start every single show this week, we're giving away a 16-inch pizza to the other place. All you got to do is be caller number 6 at 913-576-7610. And you, yes you, will be the winner of a large pizza to the other place. So, BK, I think this is the first time in a long time that you could say the Chiefs' back is against the wall. What do you think? Probably since the Patriots game last year?
Yeah, I think it's the first time since they went into the second half against the Patriots last year that they truly have their backs against the wall. We've seen them face adversity this year, right? Like, they've been without Tyreek Hill for extended periods of time. They were without Sammy Watkins. The defense has been decimated by injury. There were games this year, just this year, where they were without Patrick Mahomes for a couple of weeks. So they faced adversity over the first 10 weeks of the regular season. I think you can make a strong case, though. This is the first time that their backs are actually against the wall.
So the game you're talking about was to send the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. We all know how that ended. Speaking of the Super Bowl, yesterday we talked a lot about every single game the Chiefs' opponent have kind of viewed the Chiefs as their Super Bowl. Last week, Tennessee, in beating the Chiefs, that makes their season. Now they think they can beat anybody. Well, the Chiefs have to handle this Monday Night Football game against the Chargers like their Super Bowl. And I know that's a mouthful, and I know it sounds crazy, and I know the Chargers aren't world beaters, and I know the season's not over with a loss. Trust me, I get all that stuff. But the Chiefs have somewhat been sleepwalking through this entire season. Kind of like, I don't want to say they thought that they were good enough or that they've got Pat or they've got enough talent or whatever it is, but clearly something is different from the way this team has played and approached the way they play from last season. And maybe it was expectations. Maybe that's it, now that I think about it. Because last year, heading into the season, Vegas said they were going to be an 8-9-win football team. As fans, we just hope that Patrick Mahomes can develop. And then clearly, they're way ahead of pace. Well, I think right now, BK, coming up on Monday night, the Chiefs have to treat this game like their Super Bowl. Everything shy of Patrick Mahomes sneaking the football is in play. This is all hands on deck. This is not a drill. This is the real deal. That's how big this game is, not just for the standings, but for the feelings of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, and earlier today, Patrick Mahomes talked about this, and I want to react on the other side because it was the first time I feel like I've heard the Chiefs talk from this perspective as well.
For us, I mean, as an offense, as a defense, and as a special team, we didn't execute at a high enough level. We all had chances to win that game, and we understand that now we're kind of at that point where we're in a battle now, and so we're going to go out there every single day and make sure that we can execute at a higher level because we haven't been this whole season.
It's the first time that I feel like I've heard the Chiefs accept where they are. Like, all year long, they've talked a lot about how, yeah, you know, things aren't going our way, blah, 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 but they always seem to have an explanation, and they move forward, and they're like, but we're fine. Like, look at the talent in this room. We're going to be fine. I know we haven't been playing our best, but we're going to be fine. That didn't sound like a, we're going to be fine, and everybody knows we're going to be fine. That sounded like a, we know there's serious issues in this room right now. There's serious issues that we have to correct. And now is the time when we have to do so, because as you said, Sean, this is the first time where it feels like to me there will be people that are absolutely 100% off board if they were to lose this game. They can lose on the road to Tennessee, and there is only a portion of the fan base that is jumping ship. They can lose on Sunday Night Football against Indianapolis in a very ugly football game. There's only a portion of the fan base that's going to jump off board. This is the first game where if they lose, I think it's going to be relatively unanimous. Okay, these issues are bigger than any of us anticipated, and this is no longer a Super Bowl contender.
So I don't think anybody, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you're one of these people, hit me up on the Protein House Eat With A Purpose text line at 69306. I don't think anybody's jumping ship when it comes to this football team, because I think everybody realizes that when they're healthy, then they're just as talented as anybody else out there. And it's not that talent always wins football games, because if you look at the Patriots historically, most of the time when they've won their Super Bowls, they've been the most talented team. They've been the best coach and the best quarterback team. But you could argue when the Chiefs are all hands on deck that they're still one of the most talented football teams and that they can beat anybody. And we've seen that this year. They beat a really good 7-3 Minnesota team. They beat a Baltimore team, which I think is playing better and might be the best team in the NFL. So we know that this team can beat the good football teams. We also know the opposite is true, that they can lose. Need to approach this game coming up on Sunday as serious as they've approached any game in the Patrick Mahomes era. Now, obviously not a playoff game, because that's actual season's over if you end up losing. But this is one of those games, BK, where right now, I think there's still a lot of optimism. I think it's mostly glass half full. I think people understand that it's been a rough patch, but everybody will tell you the Chiefs are better than they've been playing. Most people think that the Chiefs are better than the 2-4 that they've been over the last month and a half, and they think they can get right and most of the issues are fixable. That is not what you're going to be hearing. He said that is not what you're going to be hearing if they lose this game. I think there's going to be a lot of doubt, a lot of panic, and a lot of people pissed off. I don't know what the five stages of the emotions are, whatever they talk about, but I think you're going to see people go through a lot of that. One, you'd be losing to the Chargers, and it feels like the Chiefs always beat the Chargers, and Andy's invincible against the division, so all of a sudden we'll go, what? That'd be back-to-back losses against teams that I don't think are that good, talking about the Chargers and the Titans. Oh, by the way, with Patrick Mahomes back on the field, we thought when he comes back, all's going to be well. And you'll take a peek at the division, the Chargers will control their own destiny, and the Raiders will control their own destiny, which is something we haven't said in a long time. So my feeling right now, getting the vibe of the city, right, kind of being out and about the people, is that most people are still cautiously optimistic that when this team gets healthy, that they've still got a chance, that nothing, all the things that we talked about at the beginning of the season, except for the one seed and probably the two seed, but the Super Bowl conversation, you can still have, because when this team is well, that's a fair conversation to have. Nobody's going to be talking about that if you lose on Monday night.
So I disagree with a lot of what you just said. I do think there are people that have jumped off board. I do think there are people that are now looking, and I talked to a few of them. I went out last night, and I talked to a few people at the bar.
Where were you at?
I was at ITAP. I emceeing a trivia night. It was fantastic.
Oh, nice.
I talked to a few people who specifically said, yeah, this feels like anything that we talked about in the 90s. It's going to be a team that goes 10-6, 9-7. They're going to get to the playoffs. They're going to lose in either the wild card round or the divisional round. We're going to get talk ourselves into them again next year, and that's what it's going to be.
Real quick, I can't believe people feel that way and don't recognize that. Okay, this team, the version that we've seen the last couple of weeks and that lost to Tennessee and that lost to Green Bay, yeah, that's a 9-7 football team. Not when they're well. Everybody knows that's better than 9-7 team, right?
I don't think everybody does.
Really?
And I think this is the distinction is I think they're starting the stages of grief, Sean. I think there are certain people right now that are going through the stages of grief, and the first stage that they are kind of looking at is, oh no, are we not as good as we thought that we were? Like, they didn't want to believe this. Most of the Chiefs fan base didn't want to believe it. They didn't believe it after the Colts game. They didn't believe it after the Texans game. Ah, two flukes, we'll be fine. They crushed the Broncos. Okay, riding high, we got this. A good, impressive performance against the Packers with your backup quarterback. We can all live with the fact that they lost that game by 7 points. You come up with that amazing win against the Vikings, and this was the week. This was the week that everything started to turn around for this Chiefs fan base. I think this was the first time under Patrick Mahomes that we have seen people start to lose belief in the team. And it's not necessarily because of Mahomes, but I think some of it is because of Andy Reid. I think some of it is because of the run defense and seeing it happen the way that it did on Sunday. And I think some of it is just all of the little things. The special teams being bad, the fumbles once again showing up, the offensive line being a bit of a mess, the running game not being what we all hoped that it would be. And so I do think there are actually people that are already starting to jump off ship and that have already started going through that first stage of grief.
On the Protein House, Eat With The Purpose text line 69306 from the 913. I'm not jumping ship, but I'll be pissed off if they lose on Sunday. From the 913 machine, I jumped ship when they didn't make a move at the deadline. Maybe some people did that because they thought if this team as currently assembled, they can't win a Super Bowl. And if they don't make a move, then I don't believe in them. I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. From the 913, this one actually kind of hits a nerve because I think that it actually is very, very accurate. From the 913, I don't see much of a difference between this team and the 03 team, to be honest. Do you? You remember that team at all, BK?
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes. Like, I'm not there. I think the difference for me is I'm not at that point because of Patrick Mahomes. Trent Green was very good. Trent Green wasn't Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is the best player in football. Trent Green was, like, a top 7 quarterback in the league.
Having Pat is fun for a million reasons. One of them is because you can do what you just did. Like, he's the answer to every question. Well, how come the Chiefs can do this? Well, how come? Because you've got Patrick Mahomes. Like,
we
that's
talk
why.
About X factors a lot, right, in certain individual games. The Chiefs' X factor is every week Patrick Mahomes. Like, we can come up with these other guys, right? Mecole Hardman's going to be the X factor for this week against the Chargers. No. The X factor in every single game for the Chiefs is they have the best quarterback in the league and maybe the guy that Kurt Warner already called the potentially best quarterback that's ever played the position. So nobody, that's the X factor.
No, at this point, nobody's doubting that, what you're talking about, that they've got the best in the game. The problem is this. He's been the best in the game now for a year and a half, and the Chiefs aren't invincible. Like, even when Pat plays really well, you were arguing yesterday that Pat's game against the Titans on Sunday might have been his best performance yet. He threw for 440. It was coming off the injury. He had 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was flawless, or as close to it as possible. The Chiefs have lost a few games like that. I don't think there's one game that I can point to and say Patrick Mahomes was the reason the Chiefs lost that game. So going forward, I believe that that's not going to happen. Like, I've got enough faith that Patrick Mahomes is not going to cost you a football game, which is crazy to say because at some point all the greats do. I'm just not sure that the Chiefs built around them, especially on the defensive side of the ball, and to get more specific, the run defense is good enough where even if Pat puts up 32 like he did against Tennessee or 41 like he did last year against New England or whatever he ended up scoring, what was it, 50 against the Rams and still lost, I still think that the Chiefs have that as a possibility going forward, which sucks because the whole point of this offseason was to make sure that your defense is good enough not to cost you a Super Bowl, and I'm not sure we're there just yet. But if they want to win a Super Bowl, I think that they have to win this game coming up on Monday night versus Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. If we agree that John Elway is enemy number one when it comes to Chiefs history, Peyton Manning probably number two, is Phillip Rivers number three? We discuss next right here on The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2-6.
Drive rolls along. Kramer on the controls. BK Sports Machine taking you up until 6 o'clock. Was there any meat on that sandwich, or was that just a butter sandwich you just ate?
No, it was a skinny cow cheese and turkey sandwich.
Okay.
Delicious.
I didn't know what that stuff was. You spread all over it. I thought you just ate a butter sandwich.
Just chilling over here eating a butter sandwich. Mm. That definitely sounds like something you would do when you get home.
I've had a butter sandwich.
I absolutely 100% believe that.
What about a peanut butter sandwich?
Peanut butter all the time. Oh, I grew up on peanut butter sandwiches. Thanks. And a butter sandwich.
Peanut butter and banana? That's a good one.
That's perfect.
If you're pregnant. A butter sandwich, isn't that just 2 pieces of toast now that I think about it?
Yeah, more or less.
Pretty much
if you actually put them together. Yeah, right. I call that bread and butter, but, you know, it's each their own.
Call it what you will. They call me the sports machine. Good to have you along for the ride. Text line open at 69306. A couple of those caught my eye from the 913. I don't understand why Casey doesn't blitz on almost every down. That's not a terrible question, although for whatever reason, I feel like – so the one my biggest issue with Bob Sutton was he didn't ever adjust, whether it was play-to-play, quarter-to-quarter, game-to-game, season-to-season, whatever it was. It was the same issues every single year. I think that Spags has done a much better job of that, but I figured that he simplified it against Denver. Everybody just go get the quarterback, blitz his ass. And they did a really good job. And they went, you know what? Let's see if that was just Joe Flacco, or let's see if that was the real deal. And they did it again the next week against Aaron Rodgers. And while they recorded 5 sacks against Aaron Rodgers, which is very impressive, they probably could have had 7 or 8 again. Like, they had him on the run the entire day. And then the next week, they put good pressure on Kirk Cousins by what? Blitzing early and often. And then for some reason, BK, they just appeared to not do that last week versus the Titans.
Yeah, they got away from it, and I don't understand it. We've talked about this a lot over the last couple of days, but the entire defensive game plan from start to finish, from the moment that the inactive report came out and Mike Bunnell was on it, to the moment that they took the field and they weren't blitzing, to the fact that they had 10 guys at the goal line once again for the second straight week when the other team was at the goal line and your defense is on the field and you have 10 guys out there. Everything about what happened on Sunday from the defensive game plan perspective was baffling.
So you're not going to be able to do that coming up on Monday night against Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. Although Phillip Rivers, maybe the beginning of the end is on the horizon. We'll talk about that because you're talking about a guy that has 14 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. 3 of those came in his last game. And let me put something to rest real quick. Phillip Rivers is not a Hall of Famer. My boy C-Dot, and I don't want to bury him because he's down in New Orleans right now or talk behind the guy's back, but I'm not sure why he always pounds the table and says Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. What's the big game that you remember Phillip Rivers playing in? What's the big play that he made? What's the season that you point to and go, oh, yeah, I remember when Phillip Rivers did that. He's never been to a Super Bowl. I don't think, BK, we put guys in the Hall of Fame because of longevity or because they were really good. And certainly he was both those things. He's been – think about how long he's been playing. Like, KU fans remember – I think it was the Tangerine Bowl back in, I want to say, 2003 that Phillip Rivers beat the Jayhawks in. That was a lifetime ago for some people. So he's been around for a long time, and he's put up a lot of numbers. And statistically, he's going to finish in the top 15 in touchdowns and yards and all that stuff. But is that because he's a Hall of Famer or because he's been playing for a long-ass time?
Yeah, I just disagree with you on this one. I think Phillip Rivers is great. I mean, if you look at basically any statistical category that you'd like to, Phillip Rivers, since he entered the league, has been a top 5 to 7 quarterback in the league. So I think that's exactly what you look at if you're looking for then what your criteria should be for a Hall of Fame player. I think he's basically Tony Romo who played longer. And I think Tony Romo, had he played longer, would have been on the trajectory to end up in the Hall of Fame. And I think that's exactly what Phillip Rivers is.
Yeah, Tony Romo, even if he would have played another 12 years, was never getting in the Hall of Fame, at least in my opinion, because he was never – to get in the Hall of Fame – you should probably be one of the, and the quarterback, you expanded out a little bit, generally one of the 3 or 4 best players at your position, whether you're talking about wide receiver, or running back, or linebacker, whatever. That's generally
that's
the criteria.
That's changed, though, in this particular era.
Well, if you're talking about 7 or 8 guys, that's putting a quarter of the guys in from this era.
I mean, it's the greatest generation of quarterbacks we've ever seen.
But don't you think part of that is the offensive generation has changed and they're throwing the football a lot more? Like, I think you have to recognize...
Breeze, Brady, Roethlisberger, Rodgers, Manning.
All locks. Mortal locks.
That's 5. Like, I mean, if you want to get to 7, like, all you have to do is include one other player. And, oh, by the way, Eli Manning's that player. He's a lock. We don't want him to be. But Eli Manning is absolutely getting into the Hall of Fame. So now you're at 7. And so, like, we can talk about how frustrating or difficult that sounds in theory. But if you want to actually look at it in terms of what we've seen over the last 20 years in the NFL, yes, this is the greatest generation of quarterbacks that we have ever seen play the game. Rivers is among them. In my opinion, he would probably be 6th on that list. I would have him above Eli Manning. I think he's a better quarterback than Eli Manning. And so that's how you get in. It's a very simple argument. It's really not actually as hard to make as I think a lot of people would like to believe.
If Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning are in the Hall of Fame, and I'm not the full list of guys that are in front of me, they have to be in the bottom 3% when it comes to what they actually did throughout their career. I can't really remember one time in Phillip Rivers' career that I would have quantified him as a top maybe 4 or 5 quarterback. Now, maybe you could say for a season he put up those type of numbers, but did he ever follow it up? He's put up some gaudy numbers, but to me, that's because he's played for a really long time. I will say this. The Chiefs and Phillip Rivers have had a very interesting relationship with one another because they have dominated him for the last 5 or 6 years. And then you look at the overall numbers, and the 27 games the Chiefs have gone head-to-head with Phillip Rivers, Rivers is 14-13. I think that if we started to make our list, BK, of the most hated players from the opposition, Elway 1, Peyton Manning 2, and I think Phillip Rivers is as high as 3 for most Chiefs fans.
Where does Brady rank on this list? I think for a lot of Chiefs fans at this point, Brady has overtaken what they have with Rivers.
I think most Chiefs fans
because the
dislike
games
Rivers
mean
more.
You think?
Yeah.
More than Brady?
69306. Who do you dislike more, Phillip Rivers or Tom Brady? Because Tom Brady, everybody doesn't like Tom Brady. Like, unless you're a Patriots fan, then Tom Brady screwed you and beat your team and knocked you out of the playoffs at some point. When it comes to Phillip Rivers, the Chiefs have had so many interesting one-on-one battles with that guy, and he takes off his helmet and he talks
to smack.
I don't
think Chiefs fans hate him, though. Like, I think there's, like, a it's not a hatred, because hatred requires you to, like, really have a reason to dislike him.
I mean, maybe hatred is harsh, but strong dislike.
I think they have an annoyance with him.
That's
like
fair.
They just find him to be particularly annoying as a quarterback because of the antics that he has, the complaining that he does, the fact that whenever the play clock's about to end and he's like doing the clapping thing where he wants the ball behind the center. Like, I think Chiefs fans are more annoyed by Phillip Rivers than they are a hatred towards him. I think it's different.
I don't think they like him at all, but maybe annoyed is the better way to describe it. That's BK. That's Kramer. I'm the Sports Machine. Coming up on the other side. Oh, speaking of Chargers quarterbacks, you're not going to want to miss this story. BK BK tried to get Ryan Leaf on the show today. I swear you're not going to believe what Ryan Leaf's response is. You're not going to want to miss that. I'll tell you what it is coming up next on The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Drive rolling along on a Thursday afternoon. Kramer on the controls with BK Sports Machine, Sean Levine, and you until 6 o'clock right here on 610 Sports Radio and all of the world being heard on the radio.com app. So before we get into the Chiefs offense and talk about the fact that as of this moment, they're scoring exactly 7 points less per game, 28.4 points per game to be exact, 7 points less than they were this time a year ago. We were just talking about Phillip Rivers and a former Chargers quarterback, Ryan Leaf. We tried to get him on the show, and I figured that it would be entertaining to bring him on because he certainly has an interesting story. You guys remember when he went absolutely nuts and lost it in the Chiefs locker room on a reporter? Like, Ryan Leaf and the Kansas City Chiefs definitely have a history. Now, if you remember back on September 20th of the year 1998, Ryan Leaf had one of the, it was the worst performance that any quarterback has ever had. He went 1 of 15 at Arrowhead, 1 of 15 for 4 yards. You know how hard that is to do? 1 of 15 for 4 yards, and that was pretty much the beginning of the end of the Ryan Leaf experiment. Funny to believe that there was actually a debate right before the draft. Should we go with Peyton Manning? Should we go with Ryan Leaf? And obviously, I think the Colts ended up making the right decision. So we wanted to get him on the show. And BK somehow acquired his phone number and sent him a text. Did you send him a text this morning?
Yeah, earlier this morning, okay. I sent him a text. The usual, you know, hey Ryan, would love to have you on the show. My name's Brandon. I work with 610 Sports Radio. You got any time over the next couple of days? Just your typical, you know, reaching out, seeing if he's available.
And he responded. This is Ryan Leaf now, and I quote, "I haven't watched one snap of NFL football this season. I don't think I'm the guy for you."
Yeah, here's the quote. "Hey, Brandon, sorry, I'm traveling for my game today." He works for the Pac-12 Network. "Also, I have not watched one snap of NFL football this season,
hang
so
on,
I couldn't
for the
possibly
Pac-12 Network.
Give your listeners any insight into their game."
So this guy,
all my best.
So for his job, he covers college football, and he wants to convince you that he hasn't watched one snap of NFL football. He's bitter from what happened.
Why would he watch the NFL?
Because it's still football, and he used to play in the NFL, and most people like it. You know, it's enjoyable.
Right,
it's a pretty good product.
What's that have anything to do with working for the Pac-12 Network?
I think he's full of it. I think he's still bitter about what happened September 20th of 1998 when he went 1 of 15 for 4 yards, and he doesn't have fond memories of Kansas City, so he'd want to come on our radio show. But that's really neither here nor there. Let's talk about the Chiefs' offense, BK, where as of this moment, they're scoring 28.4 points per game, which is 7 points less than they ended up scoring a season ago. So the question is, why? The obvious answer would be Patrick Mahomes has been injured for a couple of games. That certainly has something to do with it. I also think we probably didn't make enough of the loss of Kareem Hunt and heading into this season, the running back situation for the Chiefs. We kind of just brushed it aside and said, well, all running backs in the Andy Reid system have success, especially with Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback. So next man up, Damien Williams will be fine. And it's been much more difficult to replace Kareem Hunt than anybody could have imagined. The fact that Eric Fisher's been out, like Eric Fisher at the beginning of the season, we all realized was one of the probably 6 or 7 most important players on this team. With him being out the time he's been out, you could probably realize that he might be the 2nd most important player on this team when it comes to keeping Pat upright and creating holes for the run game. And you mentioned this yesterday. I think part of the reason the offense has struggled a little bit this year versus last year is last year in the red zone, they were the best. They were awesome. All they did was score touchdowns. This year, they're amongst the worst when it comes to the red zone, kicking field goals. We saw them line up for 6 of those on Sunday against Tennessee. The good thing is, BK, I think most of those things that I mentioned with the offense are pretty fixable issues.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is very simple, and it's the last thing that you brought up. I think it's the field goal problem. This team has a problem of not finishing drives. Like I said the other day, you asked us a question of what is the one word that you would use to describe the Kansas City Chiefs 2019 season? And I said incomplete. And one of the reasons why is because they haven't finished anything. They're not finishing plays. I saw a stat earlier today that my guy, Juan Thornhill, is in the bottom 10 in all of football and missed tackles. You got to finish those tackles, right? You got to finish those plays. They're not finishing drives offensively. The Chiefs offense last year, 40% of their drives ended with a touchdown. 15% of their drives ended in a field goal. That's a damn good rate right there. 40% of your drives ending in a touchdown. That's insane. This year, they've taken a huge step back from that respect. 28% of their drives are ending in a touchdown. 23% are ending in a field goal. They're basically even in terms of finishing drives with field goals versus touchdowns. And if you're doing that, you can't be the best offense we've ever seen. You no longer are the greatest show on turf, but on grass. You're not the team that everybody fears the way that they did a year ago. So it's very simple to me how they get this thing back on track. They finish drives, and I'm not as worried about the running game. I'm not as worried about the defense moving forward. My entire focus moving forward for this team is the expectations for the offense had to be set at a certain level. They haven't met that level thus far. How do they get it back? It's by doing this. They've got to score more touchdowns. I know that sounds very simplistic, but that's their biggest issue right now.
You know who gets the coffee, right, PK?
The closers?
That's right. That's why you got to finish. If you want to finish, then you're a closer, and that's how you end up with the coffee.
Make a good point there.
You know me, I'm kind of a bit of a gambling degenerate, so fire me up some beats, Kramer, and let's bet it or forget it.
Vegas has set the line, but is it worth the bet? It's time to bet it or forget it on The Drive.
All righty, so bet it or forget it. Patrick Mahomes, MVP odds 16-1.
16-1 for the MVP last year for a guy that after the first month of the season was 1-1 to take home the award. I think the only way Patrick Mahomes wins the award is if the Chiefs run the table from this point going forward and Pat is the same guy that basically he was last week, where he goes out there and throws for close to 400 yards and 3 touchdowns and he looks flawless, which he almost has been this year. I don't think we've talked about it enough. 18 touchdowns to 1 interception. 16-1 odds? Yeah, I think it's, I'll bet it. I think it's worth throwing down $10 to win 160.
Sure. I think he's definitely worth a bet on this one. So right now, if you're going to Vegas, the favorites right now are Russell Wilson at 2-1. That makes sense. Lamar Jackson 2.5-1. Deshaun Watson at 6-1. Aaron Rodgers, the guy that I picked before the year, at 7-1. And then it's a jumbled mess with Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, and Christian McCaffrey. Don't throw any money at McCaffrey. That is a wasted bet. Of any of those, if you want to get value on your pick right now, it's Patrick Mahomes. Let's say right now the Chiefs end up running the table, right? And they win all these games and Mahomes does what we all think Mahomes is going to do because he said today that he's as healthy as he's been since week one. Well, he would be the MVP most likely. Like, that's how you do it. You go out there and you throw 400 yards every week for the rest of the season and you beat the Patriots. You have a bunch of spotlight games going down the stretch. That's how you win this kind of an award. If the Chiefs were able to do it, he would win it. I would definitely put a little bit of money on Mahomes at 16-1. I think that's pretty good value right now.
All right, bet it or forget it. Deshaun Watson MVP odds 6-1.
Yeah. You might as well throw down 10 to win 60. I mean, it's worth it. Deshaun Watson, I think, is right there, as BK said, behind Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson. He's the guy, remember, at the beginning of the year, BK, that was 40-1 to win the MVP, and we all went,
it was insane.
What the hell? Like, how is that possible? And finally, Vegas has come around. Yeah, it's worth throwing down a little bit of money at 6-1 on Deshaun Watson. I'll bet it.
There were two quarterbacks coming into the year that I didn't understand the disconnect between Vegas, the public, and where I felt about them. It was Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but like, it was very clear that these guys were going to be better than the expectations were from the outside. Deshaun Watson.
What was Lamar entering the season? Do you remember?
A lot. I don't remember what the exact odds were.
I think it was like 30, 35-1. Yeah.
Something like that. Lamar Jackson always played a style that was going to get him highlights on SportsCenter. And if his team did better than we expected, he was going to be the catalyst for why they were going to be that. And it's the same thing for Deshaun Watson. Patrick Mahomes didn't do last year what he did. We would have been talking about Watson the way that we talked about Mahomes.
Yeah. So
I say all that to say this. Right now, out of Wilson, Jackson, and Watson, the only guy that you're getting any value on whatsoever is Watson. So I'd go ahead and throw the money on him.
Sounds like a hell of a law firm.
Bet it or forget it. Regular season most passing yards, Jameis Winston, 3-1.
This is your guy, BK. You told me that he was a great fantasy football player, so when Lamar Jackson had his bye, I picked up Jameis Winston, and that worked out just fine. Those are the best odds, by the way. Like, Jameis Winston is the favorite right now. He said Jameis Winston is the favorite to throw for the most yards in the NFL this year. I can't bet that. That sounds crazy to me. At 3-1, I need better odds.
I think the answer to this question is still Mahomes, right? Like, does anybody disagree with this? Because Mahomes right now is 190 yards behind Phillip Rivers to lead the league. He's played two fewer games than Phillip Rivers right now. So if he continues doing what he did the last few weeks, by the way, this year so far, Mahomes is leading the league in terms of yards per game by 15 yards per game. I think Mahomes is still probably the answer to this question. So, no, I'm not betting on Jameis Winston.
Does Phillip Rivers lead the league in passing right now?
Yeah, 2,816 yards on the season.
I'll be damned.
In college football, bet it or forget it, Missouri +7 against Florida.
You take this one.
You serious?
Yeah, I think he is.
They're 7-point underdog this
weekend?
That's
it, yeah.
Against Florida?
Uh-huh.
Florida, a top 15 team in the country?
Oh, yeah.
That Florida?
That Florida.
Against my Mizzou?
That Mizzou.
The Mizzou I've seen watch play the last month?
Lost to Wyoming and Vanderbilt.
Got shut Georgia. Out against
yeah.
Georgia?
Oh, yeah, team.
No.
Okay.
No.
He said what I was going to say. Yeah, no. I don't know why that line's not like 17. That's crazy. It's in the crib, right? In Columbia?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Oh, well. You know, I'm very optimistic, so I'm not very optimistic. So I'm taking Florida and laying the points. I actually feel pretty good about that one.
All right, bet it or forget it. Number 8, Minnesota, +3 against number 20, Iowa.
Minnesota is my new Penn State. I was on Penn State for a long time until they were undefeated. Then Minnesota beat them, so now they're my new Nittany Lions. I still don't know what a Nittany is, but I'm going to take the Golden Gophers in this one. Yeah, bet it. They're a 3-point underdog at Iowa. I feel like every time Iowa gets back in the conversation, they lose the big football game. Let's take Minnesota to win this game straight up.
So the thing about Iowa is everything is close. Like, it doesn't matter who they play. If they're a quality opponent, it's going to be close, and it's going to be low scoring. And so the way that I would bet this one, I would not bet the line because I think it is truly a 50-50 game. I take the under. The over-under is set at 44.5 right now. Take the under if you're going to bet this game. I would not bet on Iowa or Minnesota.
Bet it or forget it. Number 10, Oklahoma, -11 at number 13, Baylor.
Only because I really want Baylor to screw this whole thing up and go undefeated and beat Oklahoma coming up on Saturday and win the Big 12 championship game. And then they're going to be like, oh no, what do we do? There's a one-loss SEC team. There's probably going to be like a couple of one-loss Big Ten teams, and they're going to have an undefeated Baylor team. What do you do at that point? So just because I like it when there's a wrench thrown into these things, I'll bet it, and I'll take the points with Baylor. Although, who saw this come? You know what's going to happen, BK? Here, I'm going to give you a bold prediction right now. Baylor wins this game. Baylor wins next week. They're undefeated. They're feeling good about themselves. Then they come into Lawrence, Kansas.
Stop it.
And the Fighting
Stop
Les Miles.
No.
Get them in Lawrence 3 weeks from Saturday.
Stop
That's
it.
How this goes down.
You don't even believe that.
No,
you can't even convince yourself of
no,
that.
No, I don't.
So the interesting thing about Baylor is that this is not your father's Baylor football program. They're actually good defensively and not all that great offensively. They're fine offensively, but they're... The way that they have built this program is on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah, that ain't going to work against Oklahoma because it doesn't matter how good you are on the defensive side of the ball. Oklahoma is going to find a way to score. I think Oklahoma wins this one. I think they show us exactly the type of program and team that they are. I've got Oklahoma. Give me OU.
And for the NFL, bet it or forget it. Browns -3 against the Steelers.
I don't know why the Browns keep being favorites. I guess they were a favorite last week against Buffalo and ended up winning that game. Mm-hmm. Interesting one tonight. All eyes on Kareem Hunt. Like, people are going to be complaining tomorrow if Kareem Hunt goes off tonight. Trust me that. Giving up 3 points tonight. Cleveland against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's my squad. Give me Pittsburgh as an underdog tonight. That's my bet.
So, who's playing quarterback for Pittsburgh? It's that Mason Rudolph character, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
No, give me the Browns.
I mean, who's playing quarterback for the Browns? It's that Baker Mayfield character, right?
You make a fair point. Touche. I am still going to take the Browns, though. I'm not buying in on this nonsense about the Steelers being a playoff team. It's absurd. I understand they have a good defense, but give me the Browns tonight -3.
That's it for Bet It or Forget It. I really think that Pittsburgh's going to win tonight. They're going to be 6-4, and we're going to look at them and go, wait a minute. The Steelers have the same record as the Chiefs. The Steelers who were buried. The Steelers who've thrown out, is it Devlin or Delvin Hodges?
Yeah. It's
and Mason Rudolph Duck. For most of this season.
They literally started a quarterback with the nickname Duck.
And they're literally about to have the same record as your team.
Yeah.
So that's how it goes. You know what time it is? It's time for a fresh, hot edition of Levine's List.
Ooh, here we go.
Levine's List.
Best places that have drive-thrus. So you don't necessarily have to be a restaurant. If you've got a drive-thru, you can make this list. Honorable mention, but not on the list, Burger King. I've had too many bad experiences there. Starbucks, love it, but a little bit overpriced. Sonic, I've had too much in my life. Although I do think Sonic has, if you want to consider that technically a drive-thru, I think they've got the best setup of all. Arby's and Krispy Kreme. All my honorable mentions. None of those made my list.
Okay.
At number
Strong
10.
Strong honorable mention.
Steak and Shake. Have you had the garlic buns at Steak and Shake?
Yeah, I'm out on Steak.
They'll change your world.
I don't need the shoestring fries.
It takes
like
a little bit of time. I actually love those shoestring fries. And they make their own ranch. I don't know if you knew that. At number 9.
You're all about the ranch. That's all you talk about with the peanut, too. It's the blue cheese, though.
The blue
there,
cheese
right?
And the peanut, yeah. You've had it, though.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
I'm kidding. It's great.
It'll change your life. You can drink that stuff with a straw.
The wings will change your life. The blue cheese is very good.
The blue cheese is what makes the wings at the peanut.
No. The sauce is what makes them. The crispiness is what makes them. The size is what makes them. It's all about.
Keep talking. Keep being wrong. Steak and Shake at number 10. At number 9, Boston Market. I feel like Boston.
What?
Well, here's my thing. I knew this one wasn't going to be popular. It's a little classier. Like, it's
get
a little
Boston
bit better.
Market all the way
it's
out
a little,
of here.
It's a little healthier. It's a little better.
No.
A little better selection. Give me Boston Market at number 9. Number 8, ugh. You ever been to Whataburger?
Yeah, it's fine. It's overrated.
Number 8, Whataburger. Number 7, only because of the hours and the convenience, not necessarily the taste, Taco Bell. Like, if you're ever anywhere within a mile radius, you can find a Taco Bell. No
Everybody likes Taco Bell, too. Like, there's nobody that hates Taco Bell.
Give me a chalupa any time of day, especially at 3 in the morning. Number 6, and these guys have been making a real comeback the last, like, month and a half, 2 months. I thought they went away. Popeyes. Now, I know a lot of people are frustrated with Popeyes and them running out of sandwiches and stuff like that, but I feel like Popeyes is really at their peak right now. Number 5, I'm not saying it's the best food in the world, but it might be the most consistent. It's always average. Every single time you go to this place, it's always average, and it's always good enough, and that's Panda Express. Again, I'm not going to say it's Bo Ling's or anything like that, but it's always good enough. Number 4, In-N-Out. Love me some In-N-Out, especially the Vegas location next to the link. Number 3, the OG of the drive-thru game, that would be McDonald's. Number 2, the drive-thru that probably has the best setup, the best system to get you through, Chick-fil-A.
Okay, I was wondering where this was going to come in.
Chick-fil-A at number 2.
We're going to have some real issues if that didn't make the list.
And still the GOAT, in my opinion, the greatest of all time when it comes to drive-thrus. Give me Wendy's. It's cheap. It's good. It's consistent. You can get the nuggets. You can get the junior bacon cheeseburger. And the nuggets and the junior bacon cheeseburger 15 years ago cost 99 cents. And I just went a couple of days ago, and they still cost 99 cents. The junior bacon cheeseburger might be $1.29. But either way, my point rings true. Good food, fair price, relatively consistent. Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, In-N-Out, Panda Express, Popeyes, Taco Bell, Whataburger, Boston Market, and Steak and Shake. What's your problem?
I don't think this is a terrible list, actually. I would say Jack in the Box should probably be somewhere on this towards the back end of it.
How do you feel about White Castle?
I hate White Castle.
Does anybody
I think it's
like
absolutely
White Castle?
Disgusting.
It's only good at Walmart when you just buy a box load of them.
But that's not real White Castle.
Zaxby's deserves to be on this list.
Yeah,
I would
Zaxby's
say
okay.
Zaxby's is probably a top 5 on this list.
All right.
I would say those are two in particular that should definitely be in the top 10. Boston Market was a reach, and everybody disagrees with me on Whataburger, but Whataburger is absolutely way too overrated.
No, Whataburger is phenomenal. You can debate Whataburger, In-N-Out, or whatever. I mean, you can have that debate all day long. Give me... Which one has the animal fries? I think that's In-N-Out.
That's In-N-Out.
Yeah, give me the animal fries at In-N-Out. Well, we've got a couple of minutes left, so why not take a minute? Go ahead. You can take your minute first today. Oh, you don't want to take a minute? All right, I'll take a minute. Let me give you my minute today on, let's see. How about this? We were just talking about Doc Rivers. Phillip Rivers, did you see Doc Rivers last night?
Yeah, it was amazing.
It's the greatest thing ever if you haven't seen it. So Doc Rivers, the coach of the Clippers, gets a technical in the game. No big deal. He eventually gets thrown out. The best part of it was the guy on the other team that was antagonizing him was his son, Austin Rivers, who was like, you got to tee this guy up. Then they teed him up, and then he goes, you got to throw this guy out, and they threw him out. It was unbelievable. And then the tweet that Austin Rivers sent out this morning that said, well, Thanksgiving is going to be a little bit awkward. That's great. That was absolutely hilarious that the kid ended up seeing his pops get thrown out of the game. I saw my dad get thrown out of a game once, BK. I was at a Chiefs Royals charity event, so back way back in the day. George Brett was either toward the end of his career or had just retired maybe the year before. And they used to do these Chiefs versus Royals charity games. And as the game was going on, my dad wanted to get the card that I brought autographed. So he goes up to George Brett on the bench in the middle of a charity game. Like, not during a timeout, in the middle of a game. Granted, it was a charity game or whatever, but my dad clearly didn't know the protocol for this type of thing because he's not that big of a sports fan, not really his thing. And so my dad takes the card that I had, which was a Flair Ultra, which comes into the story later, because Flair Ultra is kind of like a real slick kind of card. It's not the most conducive to getting an autograph with a big pen. So in the middle of the game, my dad taps George Brett on the shoulder, and George Brett turns around and tries to sign my card. My dad hands him the Flair Ultra card and the Bic pen. And he tries like a few times. He's like scribbling on it, but the pen won't show up because the damn card has that slick stuff on the front of it. So I have a George Brett indentation that my dad brings back to me. And I'm crying like a little baby. And I'm like, Dad, this isn't. So my dad goes back and does it again. Taps George Brett on the shoulder again. And they threw his ass out. It was at Shawnee Mission South High School. They threw my dad out. I'll never forget it. But that's one of my most cherished possessions is my George Brett. Not an autograph, but indentation.
Kramer, can I take a minute real quick?
Yeah, give him a minute, Kramer.
For my minute today, I would like to talk about the NCAA because they're doing Mizzou dirty right now.
How?
I don't know if you saw this, but earlier today, Ohio State star defensive lineman Chase Young was announced that he's going to miss just one more game for the NCAA rules violation before he returns next week against Penn State. Now, Young sat out last weekend's game against Maryland. It was basically a self-imposed suspension, and the NCAA determined 1 week later you're only going to be ruled ineligible for 2 weeks. It's going to be a two-game suspension for you. Can we talk about how long it's been since Mizzou has been waiting on these Mizzou NCAA sanctions?
Longer than 2 weeks.
286 days since the NCAA first issued the sanctions. That was on January 31st. It's been 233 days since MU filed its appeal. That was on March 25th. And 121 days since MU made its case to the NCAA. It has been more at this point than 4 months since Mizzou made its official appeal to the NCAA, and we still don't know if they're going to be eligible for the postseason or not this year. Meanwhile, at Ohio State, they found out that their best player gets to miss two games after a week of investigation. Unbelievable.
We'll talk a little more college football at the top of the 3 o'clock hour when we bring you the cover two, but right now we bring you today's pop quiz.
Stand by, going to air.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
Pop quiz, as always, brought to you by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The winner receives a pizza, a large pizza, to the other place. If you can name this movie.
There! Right there!
You're turning?
What are you doing?
Escaping.
The heart!
Forget it, you'll never get it back.
If you know what movie that was, hit me up at 913-576-7610, and I'll hook you up with a pizza to the other place. Coming up next, we get into the cover two right here on The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.